So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, text number 23. Remembrance of Lord Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aho Bhakti Yam Stana Kala Kutam Jikam Saya Payayad Api Asadvi Lepi Gatim Dhatri Uchitam Tato Anyam Kam Va Dayalum Sharanam Prajima Aho Bakiyam Stana Kalakutam Tikham Saya Padayat Apiyasvidi Lebigatim Dati Uchitam Tatonyam Kampa Dayalum Saranam Brajima Abu Bakiyam Stana Kala Kutam Tikham Saya Payaya Dopiyasvidi Lebhigatim Datri Uchitam Tatonyam Kamba Dayalum Saranam Brajiman Abu Bakiyam Stana Kalakutam Jikam Saya Payaya Dopiyas Vidvi Lebhigatim Datri Uchitam Tatonyam Kamba Dayalum Saranam Brajiman Abu Bakiyam Sanakalakutam Tikam Svayaya Dobi Ashatavi Lebhi Gatim Datri Uchitam Tatonyam Ham Badalayum Sharanam Brajima Gatim Datri Uchitam Tatonyam Kamba Dayalum Saranam Brajiman Matajis Aho Bakiyam Stanakalakutam Tikham Saya Payaya Rapiya Chudibi Ekatim Datri Uchitam Tatonyam Lepidigatim dat triuchitam tatanyam. Tambat dayalum saranam dadima. Aho. Alas. Baki. The she demon Putana. Yam. Whom. Stana. Of her breast. Kala. Deadly. Putam. Poison. Jikham Shaya. Out of envy. Upayayat. Nourished. Opi. Holdo. Ashadvi. Unfaithful. Lepi. Achieved. Gotim. Destination. That tree uchitam. Just suitable for the nurse. Tata. Beyond whom. Anyam. Other. Come. Who else? Ba. Certainly. Dayalum. Merciful. Sharanam. Shelter. Vrajema. Shall I take? Purport and translation by His Divine Grace, Abhaya Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than He, who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana? Although she was unfaithful, and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. Please repeat. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than He who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana? Although she was unfaithful and prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. Purport. Here is an example of the extreme mercy of the Lord, even to His enemy. It is said that a noble man accepts the good qualities of a person of doubtful character, just as one accepts nectar from a stock of poison. In his babyhood, he was administered deadly poison by Putana, a she-demon who tried to kill the wonderful baby. And, because she was a demon, it was impossible for her to know that the Supreme Lord, even though playing the part of a baby, was none less than the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. His value as the Supreme Lord did not diminish upon his becoming a baby to please his mother Yasoda. The Lord may assume a form of a baby or a shape other than that of a human being, but it doesn't make the slightest difference. He is always the same Supreme. A living creature, however powerful he may become by dint of severe penance, can never become equal to the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putana because she pretended to be an affectionate mother, allowing Krishna to suck her breast. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. That is the standard of his character. Therefore, who but the Lord can be the ultimate shelter? Om Agyanti Midam Dasha Jananjanan Shalakriya Chakshuram Militam Dina Tashmaya Shri Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karadha Shivashri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. So here this sloka on this pastime is showing the extreme mercy of Krishna, that even his enemy person who hated him tried to come to kill him. Still, he gave her the position of a mother in his own abode. It's because Krishna has many mothers. The elderly gopis, they treat him as their child. They breastfeed him also. So many of them get that opportunity to treat Krishna as their mother. So it is said that Putana, she got the position of like a nurse. She wasn't that intimate, too intimate with Krishna, but she was like a nurse. And it was a reverential happiness she was enjoying, her relationship with Krishna. It wasn't too intimate, but she was taking care of Krishna sometimes, but she had the mood of reverential happiness in her service to Krishna. But anyway, becoming from a she-demon to having a spiritual form in the spiritual world with Yasoda and all the elderly, that's something very, very wonderful. So this verse is also quoted in the Pundarik Vidyanidhi Leela when Mukunda took Garada Pandit to see this great Vaishnava who was looked like a big sense enjoyer of Pundarik, laying down with white sheet beds and long hair, smelling like amalaki oil. It was greasy and perfumed, and he was had this so much pan, tambulam, people were serving him, people were fanning him, beautiful silk cloth on, he looked like a big enjoyer. Of course, that was his cover-up. He was actually a great devotee. So to avoid disturbance from people coming and asking for benedictions and things like that, he showed himself as a big enjoyer. So when Gadadhar Pandit saw him, he thought, he's come to show me a great Vaishnava, but he looks like a big Vishayi, a big enjoyer here. I've never seen anyone so much pampering himself. And he used to have a big mirror, and he would look in the mirror at his face, and you'd see his teeth with all the red from chewing pan. He was admiring himself. So Gadadhar Pandit couldn't understand. So then Mukunda detected default in the mind of Gadadhar. So then he sung a song. He had a very beautiful voice, Mukunda. And he sung this song. He sung this verse, actually, Oh Baki. And also the one from the 10th canto. This is from the 3rd canto. On the 10th canto also, where it describes how, the same thing, how Putana came and Krishna killed her and gave her position to his mother. So Just hearing those verses, he just went into such a mood of separation from Krishna. He just went mad, literally mad. He was, aha, Krishna, Gadai Krishna. And he just threw himself on the ground. His legs and his arms were kicking everything. The whole room was completely smashed. Everything he had, all the pots, the hookah pipe was smashed. All of his pan went everywhere. All of his clothes were ripped. He was tearing his Gadada Pandit and Mukunda was completely amazed at his level of ecstatic prem. So this was just Vatsalaras prem he was showing. Of course, he can show to the fullest extent because Pundarik is the father of Srimati Radharani. So he had the Vatsala relationship. And Krishna was just like his son also. Pundarik and he was Rashabhanu Maharaj and Kirtita Devi, his wife. They were the mother and father of Radharani. So the only thing they ever wanted to do was to marry Krishna with Radharani. And the only thing Yasoda and Nanda wanted to do was to marry Krishna with Radharani. So they was in this such a deep feeling of Vatsala Ras, because he was the eternal father and of Krishna. Village, they were considered brothers and sisters anyway because of their proximity and their friendship. So Pundarik had that emotion for Radharani. And so, you know, he just hearing the verses, how kind Krishna was. And he was saying he's killed that big demon. He's given you a position of mother, but he's keeping himself separate from me. So it was a mood of complete separation that he was showing this, all these symptoms of ecstasy. no voice, okay. So, so this Bhutana, she came as a devotee, looked like a loving devotee, very beautiful woman. But she was just showing outwardly her dress and appearance, but in her heart she hated Krishna, and she wanted to kill him. But Krishna took it. She's approaching me as a mother, so I'll accept her as a mother. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So she's approaching me like a mother. She wants to offer, okay, I'll accept as mother. So that part he reciprocated nicely, but the other part to it, she was also a big rakshasi. She loved to drink blood of children. That was her, and she was sent by Kamsa actually to kill all the children, young children, who may be Krishna. So that was her activity. So Krishna was very angry, not because she tried to kill him, but he had killed so many other babies. So he wanted to teach Bhutana a lesson. So then she was rewarded. After that, Krishna rewarded with love for Krishna. So from the extreme opposite, from hating Krishna to loving Krishna, she was rewarded. So this is the merciful nature of Krishna, this verse is pointing out. And also, Bhutana was the first demon Krishna killed, because his eyes were just coming open at that time. He was just a couple of months old. And she was a woman, so it's woman is for not to be killed. But of course she was a rakshasi woman, murderer of small children. So Krishna was obliged to kill her. But to show his mercy, because she was the first demon killed, then Krishna said, I have to show mercy. If I just kill her and send her to Patala Loka or something like that, then people would think, well, Krishna's very unkind, you know. Somebody came, it was the first demon, so he'll always be unkind. So although he killed her, but then he gave her a position as a mother. It's just like Prabhupada gave an example of Queen Victoria. She was a queen during the British Raj in India. And she was invited into the court, the British courts, to pay a visit, and she was invited, can you please give judgment for someone? You're the queen, you're the empress of the world. You can come into the court and you give justice on someone. So they had one man there. He was really, really bad man. He did everything was bad. And so they was hearing all these bad things he did. So then they asked the queen, so can you please give a judgment? And she said, I've only heard his bad qualities. Did he have any good qualities at all? And nobody said, no, nobody knows any good quality he had. She said, he must have had one good quality. And then someone said, yes, he was actually very faithful to his family members. That much he was faithful and looked after his family members. Otherwise, he was a very bad man. She said, oh, there is one quality. Okay, on the strength of that one quality, I will pardon him. And so she freed him. Then afterwards she said, if I had condemned him, everyone would have said, what kind of Queen Victoria is she? We got to accept the Empress of the British Empire. She's so hard-hearted that her first case, she sent the guy to prison, or what did she do with it? So she excused him because he was the first case. So similarly, this was the first demon that Krishna killed. So to maintain his aspect of being Bhaktivatsala, or very, very merciful, then he gave that demon, though she was dressed only dressed as a devotee, then he gave her the internal mood that's suitable to her relationship with Krishna, a loving mother to Krishna. So, in this these chapters here, and Prabhupada's talking in purpose that when we hearing about material things, this is the root cause of material existence. We like to hear things, material things. And if something is attractive, then we'll execute it. But it starts with hearing. So that's the root cause of our attraction to the immaterial existence. So when we hear about the activities of Krishna, then the opposite thing happens. This is the remedy. This is the actual remedy for the material affliction, because hearing about Krishna awakens our dormant Krishna consciousness. So all these childhood pastimes of Krishna are so attractive, very attractive, that Maharaj Parikshit specifically mentions that the wonderful activities of baby Krishna, which were always amazing to Yasoda and Nanda, and all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, these wonderful, amazing pastimes, and very enchanting. So this was a benediction that actually Drona and Dara had as demigods. Then Vishnu appeared and asked them for a benediction. And they said, "We would like a benediction that we will take our birth where the Lord is taking birth and is displaying his pastimes of a child. And our benediction is we just want to be there and completely absorb our consciousness. May those childhood pastimes completely absorb our consciousness 24 hours a day." So they got that benediction. And every mother knows that it's not just a matter of forcibly being conscious of your children. You have to be conscious. You have to be. They're always demanding. They want this, they want that, they want this. You have to look after them. So they're completely demanding. Yasoda is always thinking Krishna. Never let him out of sight. He's wandering, crawling around in the farmyard. Sometimes the big ghouls are moving around. They may not see the little baby. So she's always conscious. She's doing her chores. But she's always conscious. Where is Krishna? He must be inside. Sometimes big eagles come. They take small kids away. So she's always conscious of her child. She wouldn't let him out of her sight. So like this, she would completely absorb. So she got that benediction, and Krishna come and displayed these wonderful pastimes of his childhood. So not only Yasoda and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, but everyone, when we're hearing these pastimes, we can become so completely absorbed and enchanted by the absorption in Krishna's pastimes. So Sukadeva goes, Parikshit Maharaj, he's requested, please, Sukadeva Goswami, please go on and speak about these childhood pastimes of Krishna, because the childhood pastimes of Krishna are especially pleasing to hear. Everybody likes it. Like a baby can do no wrong anyway. So, just like the Grihastha, they're advised to worship Balagopal, Ladu Gopal in their house, because in the house they may not be dressed properly and behavior may not be proper in front of the deity. So they put Balagopal. Then if you're walking around in a gumtra, it's not, baby doesn't mind, he doesn't know. Food's a bit late or it's something goes a bit wrong. Child's oblivious, so you don't make offenses if you worship Ladu Gopal. If you had Radha Krishna, you have to be very strict. But Ladu Gopal is there, so he doesn't take offenses. So in the household, at least Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would advise his Grihastha devotees, you should have Gopal there. And you offer your boga to him and like that. He won't take offenses because he's only a small baby. He doesn't really know right from wrong. So So that the no, everybody likes a childhood pastime. It's so innocent, so pure, and nobody's envious of a child. Later on, people become very envious of Krishna. He was so powerful, so beautiful. Everything there. So many. It's only envious people of Krishna. People are envious of Mahaprabhu, the materialist. He's so beautiful. Everybody looks at him. When he took sannyas, oh great, we're not envious of him anymore because he's taken sannyas. They forgot their envy because he's in a renounced order now. Now I'll be the center of the attraction. All the ladies can look at me because now Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas. So even they're envious of the Supreme Lord, but a baby, child, you don't become envious of him because there's no reason to become envious. So this way the childhood pastimes are very pleasing to hear. And not only that, Pariksit Maharaj said, but they make you more inquisitive. Oh really, they're so enchanting. Let me hear more. So they want to hear more and more of these pastimes. So I'll read from the Krishna book here. You all read this story in Krishna book? Anybody not read the story of killing a putana? Okay. Good. So we're going to ask you some questions as we read along. See how absorbed you are in Krishna's pastimes. After consulting his demoniac ministers, Kamsa instructed a witch named Putana, who knew the black art of killing children by ghastly, sinful methods, to kill all kinds of children in the cities, villages, and pasturing grounds. She was ordered by Kamsa. Such witches can play their black art only where there is no... Yes, good. No chanting or hearing of the holy name of Krishna. It is said that wherever the chanting of the holy name of Krishna is done, even negligently, all bad elements, witches, ghosts, dangerous calamities immediately disappear. And this is certainly true of a place where the chanting of the holy name of Krishna is done seriously, especially in Vrindavan, where the Supreme Lord was personally present. Therefore, the doubts of Nanda Maharaj were certainly based on affection for Krishna. Actually, there was no danger from the activities of Putana, despite her powers. Such witches are called Kechuri, yes, which means they can fly in the sky, yes. This black art of witchcraft is still practiced by some women in the remote northern west side of India. They can transfer themselves from one place to another on a branch of an uprooted tree. Putana knew this witchcraft, and therefore she is described in the Bhagavatam as Kechari. It's interesting, in European folklore, fairy tales, Grimm's, and this, was it Grimm's and that? Anyway, the fairy stories and folklore, that when they depict witches, they have a witch, she has long flowing robes, because she's from India, just sorry, I guess. So sometimes she has, it says she has a pointed hat, so I guess they have the cloth over their head. But she rides on a broomstick. It looks like a broomstick, but actually it's an uprooted tree with the roots on it. So it's one branch tree with all the roots on it. They have mantras, they sit on it, and they can fly around. So this is where it's coming from. Kechari. Putana entered the county of Gokul, the residential quarters of Nanda Maharaj, without permission. Dressing herself just like a beautiful woman, she entered the house of Mother Jasoda. She appeared very beautiful, with raised hips, nicely swollen breasts, earrings, and flowers in her hair. She looked especially beautiful on account of her thin waist. She was glancing at everyone with very attractive looks and smiling face. And all the residents of Vrindavan were captivated. The innocent cowherd men and women thought that she was a goddess of fortune. Yes. Appearing in Vrindavan with a, what in her hand? Lotus flower. Very good. You know your Krishna book. It seemed to them she had personally come to see Krishna, who was her husband. Because of her exquisite beauty, no one checked her movement, and therefore she freely entered the house of Nanda Maharaj. Putana, the killer of many, many children, found baby Krishna lying on a small bed. She could at once perceive the baby was hiding his unparalleled potencies, and Putana thought, this child is so powerful that he can destroy the entire universe immediately. Putana's understanding is very significant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated, Krishna is situated in everyone's heart. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that he gives one necessary intelligence, he also causes one to forget. Putana was immediately aware that child whom she was observing in the house of Nanda Maharaj was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He was lying there as a small baby, but that does not mean he was less powerful. The materialistic theory that God worship is anthropomorphic is not correct. No living being can become God by undergoing meditation or austerities. God is always God. Krishna, as a child baby, is as complete as he is as a full-fledged youth. The Mayavadi theory holds that the living entity was formerly God, but now he has become overwhelmed by the influence of Maya. And therefore they say that presently he is not God. But when the influence of Maya is taken away, then he again becomes God. This theory cannot be applied to the minute living entities. The living entities are minute parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are minute particles or sparks of the Supreme Fire, but not the original fire or Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the beginning of his appearance in the house of Vasudeva and Devaki. So God is always God. In Putana, you see, when Krishna was killing her, she expanded herself into her original form, which was 12 miles big. And so as she expands, then proportionally she gets that potency because she has these cities. So her potency will increase according to the size of her body, etc. But she was there 12 miles long, and Krishna was a little baby playing on her breast. He was, after he killed her. But Krishna didn't have to increase his body or show any more power. He remained the same little baby. So this is Krishna. He doesn't have to prove himself God. There's no history or record of Krishna ever performing yoga or meditation or getting, you know, to get these different cities. Like the Mayavadis say, no, I'm not God now, but when I realize Brahman by my austerities, I'll become God. Krishna is not that kind of God. There's no history where he performed any mystic yoga or anything like that. And yet when Arjuna said, can I see your universal form? Okay, have a look. Just like that. You ask the Mayavadis, can you show universal form? Well, let me get the city first when I become... No, Krishna doesn't have to wait for that. He never practiced yoga. Krishna showed the nature of a small baby, and he closed his eyes to avoid the face of Putana. This closing of his eyes is interpreted and studied in different ways by different devotees. Some say that Krishna closed his eyes because he did not like... He didn't like to see the face of a big demon who had killed so many babies, so he closed his eyes. Yuck. The ghastly. And others say that something extraordinary was being dictated to her, and so in order to give her assurance, Krishna closed his eyes so that she would not be frightened. Yes, but Krishna closed his eyes so she wouldn't be frightened. And yet others interpret in this way. Krishna appeared to kill all the demons and give protection to the devotees. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Paritiranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chatushkritam, the first demon to be killed was a woman. According to Vedic rules, the killing of a woman, a brahmana, cow, or a child is forbidden. Krishna was obliged to kill the demon Putana. And because the killing of a woman was forbidden, according to Vedic Shastra, he could not help but to close his eyes. Another interpretation is that Krishna closed his eyes because he simply took Putana to be his nurse. Putana came to Krishna to offer her breast to the Lord to suck. Krishna is so merciful that though he knew Putana was there to kill him, he took her as his nurse or mother. There are seven kinds of mothers according to the Vedic injunction. They are the cow, wife of a brahmana, wife of a king, wife of the spiritual master, mother earth, real father mother, yes. Because Krishna came to take Krishna on her lap and offer her breast milk to be sucked by him, she was accepted by Krishna as one of his mothers. That is considered to be another reason why he closed his eyes. He had to kill a nurse or a mother. But his killing of his mother or nurse was none different than his love for his real mother and his foster father, his real mother and foster mother, Jasoda. We further understand from Vedic information that Putana was treated as a mother and given the same facility as Jasoda. As Jasoda was giving liberation from material world, Putana was also given liberation. When baby Krishna closed his eyes, Putana took him on her lap. She did not know she was holding personified death. If a person mistakes a snake for a rope, he dies. Similarly, Putana killed so many babies before meeting Krishna, but now she was accepting the snake that would kill her immediately. When Putana was taking baby Krishna on her lap, both Jasoda and Rohini were present, but they did not forbid her because she was so beautifully dressed. Yes, good. And she showed such what affection?
Motherly
affection towards Krishna. They could not understand that she was actually a sword in the sheath. Sword is very sharp and hard. The leather case is very soft. It doesn't look dangerous in the sheath, but when you take it out, it's very dangerous. Putana had smeared a very powerful poison on her, and immediately after taking the baby on her lap, she pushed her breasty nipple within his mouth. She was hoping that as soon as he would suck her breast, he would die. But Krishna very took the nipple in anger. He sucked the milk poison along with the life air of the demon. In other words, Krishna simultaneously sucked the milk from her breast and killed her by sucking out her life. Krishna was so merciful that because the demon Putana came to offer her breast milk to him, he fulfilled her desire and accepted her activity as motherly. In the translation of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he gives this explanation. But actually Krishna, he didn't suck her breast and take away all this sinfulness. He sucked away her life and all of her sinful activities. But Krishna actually didn't do that. But this was performed by one of his potencies called the Shamhara Shakti. This is the power of destruction. So now Krishna had to perform an act of destruction. He was going to destroy the demon and the poison. So his potency, named Shamhara, came into play. This was and it was that potency that sucked out all the poison and all the sinful nature of Putana. Shamhara Shakti, the potency of destruction. Just like when Krishna has to kill the demon anyway, there's a Vishnumurti form. He appears, actually. So Krishna, he doesn't really hurt himself at all when he's fighting. The Vishnumurti comes and he kills all the demons when it's needed. And when it's the conjugal pastimes are going on, Krishna has another Shakti. It's an all-attractive Shakti. That goes up into the air, and that Vishnumurti also goes, he's attracted, he goes up there. So then Krishna performs his intimate pastimes with Radharani. There's no Vishnu or anyone there. So his potencies are all working in different ways to serve him and increase his pleasure. And because the demon was killed by Krishna, she got liberation. When Krishna sucked out her very breath, Putana fell down on the ground. She spread her arms and legs and began to cry. Oh child, leave me. She was crying loudly and perspiring, and her whole body became wet. As she died screaming, there was a tremendous vibration both on the earth and the sky in all directions. And people thought that was falling. People thought that something was falling. Thunderbolts were falling in the sky. Thus, the nightmare of the Putana witch was over, and she assumed her real features, a great demon. She opened her fierce mouth and spread her arms and legs all over. She fell exactly as Ritasura when struck by the thunderbolt of Indra. The long hair on her head was scattered all over her body. Her body, fallen body, extended up to 12 miles and smashed all the trees to pieces. And everyone was struck with wonder upon seeing the gigantic body. Vishwanath Chakravartika also says that she left the house of Nanda Maharaj. She was screaming, "Leave me, child," but Krishna wouldn't leave her. He was pressing her breast so hard, it was in terrible pain. And then he started to kick her with his legs, and it was intolerable, even though he was a little tiny feet. It was intolerable, the pain she was experiencing. She was screaming, "Leave me, child, leave me." And so she ran like anything away, but she couldn't get Krishna from her breast. He was just holding on, and she was hurting like anything. So she ran away along, and then she fell down dead in this orchard. It was a beautiful orchard there. It was full of luscious trees, fruits and everything like that. Big land there. And she fell, and she smashed all those trees and fruits. And he said that these orchards, these gardens, were actually the personal gardens of King Kamsa. Because he was the king of the area. So he had all these beautiful places where he could grow all his crops and nice fruits, and that was his garden. So his nice garden was destroyed by Putana, who he sent to kill Krishna. Her teeth appeared just like fangs, yes, something else that looks like fangs. What does Balaram carry? Plow, yes. Like plow. Here he said it looks like plowed roads, but in the 10th canto it's like the plows. Balaram has that plow, so her teeth were big, pointed, huge teeth she had. And her nostrils appeared just like what? No. Caves?
Caves,
yes. Mountain caves. And her breasts appeared like small hills. Hills. And her hair was like a vast reddish bush. Yes, bush. Like a forest, a red forest there. Her eye sockets appeared like blind wells, did somebody say? Okay, blind wells. Her two thighs appeared like two banks of a river. Her two hands appeared like two strongly constructed. You went to Hara? Bridges, yes. And her abdomen seemed like a dried up lake, yes. All the coward men and women became struck with awe and wonder upon seeing this. And the tumultuous sound of her falling shocked their brains and ears and made their hearts beat strongly. When the gopis saw little Krishna fearlessly playing on Putana's lap, they very quickly came over and picked him up. Mother Jasoda and Rohini had actually fainted at that time. So this was the other gopis came and picked him up. They brought them to Mother Jasoda and Rohini, then they regained their consciousness again. And then the gopis immediately performed the auspicious rituals by taking the tail of a cow and circumambulating his body. So you get the cow's tail and you put it round like, or sometimes they rub it all over the body. It's auspicious. And the child was completely washed with the cow urine. And the dust created by the hoofs of the cows was thrown all over his body. Goduli. And dust that's raised by the cows is very auspicious. In the evening when Krishna comes home with the cows, dusk, the sun is just before the sun is setting, all that dust comes up. Krishna was also covered in dust. It's very auspicious. It's called Goduli Snan. If you go out at that time when you see the cows, you should go there and let the dust fall on your body. Goduli Snan, one of the seven types of baths you can take. Seven auspicious baths. So they put the dust raised by the hooves of the calves on Krishna's body. All of this was just to save little Krishna from future inauspicious accidents. This incident gives a clear indication of how important the cow is to the family, society, and to the living entities in general, beings in general. The transcendental body of Krishna did not require any protection, but to instruct us on the importance of the cow, the Lord was smeared over with cow dung, washed with the urine of a cow, sprinkled with the dust, upraised by the walking of the cows. After this purification process, the gopis headed by Mother and Jasoda and Rohini chanted the 12 names of Vishnu to give Krishna's body full protection from all evil influences. They washed their hands and feet and sipped water 3 times, as is the custom when chanting mantras. And then they chanted mantras as follows. My dear Krishna, may the Lord who is known as Manimam protect your thighs. And then they go through so many names of Vishnu to protect every part of his body and existence. And they say, may Madhava, Lord Madhava protect you when you are sleeping. Yes. So you have no fear here when you're sleeping at night, because Mother will protect you while you're sleeping. So they chant all these names of the Lord to protect Krishna from further calamities. After this, all the residents of Braja, it means there were some, like, not Nanda and the Vaishyas, but they have more lower class, the Sudras and others, Adivashis and people who live around. After this, all the residents of Braja cut up the gigantic body of Putana into pieces and piled it up with wood for burning. They're going to cremate. When all the limbs of Putana's body were burning, the smoke emanated from the fire created very nice flavor. They thought it was coming from the heavenly planets or somewhere. It smelled like aguru. So this good aroma was due to her being killed by Krishna. Because Krishna touched her body, she became purified and like Lord Rishabhadev, he was very pure. Even when he went to pastoral, it scented the area for 8 miles, was it? Beautiful roses, smelled like roses. It's a... They cut the body of Putana up into pieces because she was deadly, like a snake. So when you kill a poisonous snake, you have to cut him up into pieces because a snake can become alive again just simply by the air. His life, somehow or another, is retained in the air. If you don't cut him into pieces and burn it, the life air of the snake can come back in again. So they cut the body into pieces and then you burn it. So this they thought Putana, she's like a snake, so we'll cut her body up and we'll burn it. So snakes have that potency, so they should be cut up and burned. If you kill a snake and you don't burn it, then it's the snake's mate, because snakes only have one consort, one husband and wife. In their whole life they keep. Good example for grihasthas. Even the snake can do it. I'm sure you can do it. Then the other snake, the mate of the snake, comes and he looks into the eye of the dead snake. He can see the reflection of the person who killed him. So then that snake, he will go and he will kill that person. There was some instance in Bengal a long time ago, but someone was visiting his relatives here in Bengal, and there was a snake in the house, so they killed it, or outside. Anyway, he killed the snake of the relatives. And then he left, and he went back to his other home. So when he arrived home, and he opened up his bag or his suitcase, and the snake was jumped out and killed him, because it was the mate of the snake that he had killed in Bengal. So they have that, some mystic power is there. So the aroma was due to her being killed by Krishna. This means that the demon Putana was washed of all of her sinful activities and attained a celestial body. Here is an example of how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all good. Putana came to kill Krishna, but because he sucked her milk, she was immediately purified, and her dead body attained.
Thank you.
somehow or another, when the soul leaves, dreams at night, there's an invisible, like a cord, a connection, and the soul goes in some dream, something like that. So they interfere with that cord, the life air. So it's difficult sometimes to get back into your body. Sometimes you may find it. They play around with the life air. So they're like monkeys. They're like subtle monkeys. They like to play and play around and cause a little bit of trouble. So, but anyway, they're considered on a higher platform of elevation in terms of the 84 lakhs. And therefore they get more. They have more power and more cities.
Why did Krishna cheat Yashoda? You mentioned that the position he gave to Uttana was the same with Yashoda, who was with love and devotion. It's like cheating. Why did he cheat his mother, his real mother, and give them the same position?
Yeah, Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur points out that it wasn't exactly the same position. It's mentioned the same as a mother. But it was an elderly gopi, and she was some kind of a nurse who would assist the other nurses and everything, bathing Krishna, dressing Krishna. And she would assist in bringing. Sometimes she could touch Krishna and pick Krishna up, like all the elderly gopis. But it wasn't intimate. Her relationship was one of Aishwarya, Shukha Aishwarya. That means she had a reverential attitude to Krishna in happiness. This was her relationship. This is my child, but it was. Yeah, what does she? I forgot. I wanted to look at that. I forgot all about it. She represents
false guru.
False
guru.
False guru.
Guru. Like guru can come in, and so is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Shikshamrita.
Yeah. Okay. They're the demons they represent. So she represents a false guru, is it?
Yes.
There was an example of false guru also. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he first came to here, performing austerities here, and there was one boy, he was the son of a high court judge, he was a respectable young boy, but anyway, he came to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And when he heard from him, He was understanding that the guru he was going to was like false. He had the guru and the guru's wife. They were misleading him in his spiritual life. So, but still he wasn't sure. He had heard from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So then he went back to his home. And that night he had a dream and he saw his guru and the wife of his guru. They were approaching him, then they took the form of a lion and a tiger. And they were approaching the disciple, and he became very scared. And then suddenly Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati appeared in the dream, and he chased away the tiger and the lion. And then when he woke up, he thought, and then he came back here and he said, please give me initiation. He may have been the first disciple, but he got initiation because he revealed that the false guru, they actually become tigers. They will eat your bhakti. Instead of revealing bhakti, they will gobble the bhakti. The Mayavadi gurus, specifically, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Prayers to the Mind, Manushiksha, yeah. And he says, liberation talks so tall, forget it once and for all. There's a beautiful poem that I think Achyutananda wrote. He wrote a poem that in poetry form, but it was really nice. Liberation talks so tall, forget it once and for all. Like a tigress, these talks of liberation. It's like a tigress. And she will gobble up your heart's bhakti. She will pounce on you and eat your heart's bhakti. So this is Mayavadi gurus. They teach you Mayavad, but it'll simply eat your bhakti. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, even if you hear the Vedanta Sutra from Shankara Bhashya, he said it can crack the heart even of a devotee. So this Mayavad philosophy is very strong. So you hear these gurus, they are like tigers. They gobble up your bhakti, destroy your bhakti. Okay. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Krishna Vishaya Kudale Yeah, I believe in God.